I'm glad you guys are here today. I'm Christina Martinez. I'm youth pastor and children's director. And I want to take a moment to talk about YFN. Woo! Yes, I'm excited. Sorry. I'm really excited about YFN. So our youth, the last 2 years, we've been going to Youth for the Nations at Christ for the Nations Bible College in Dallas, Texas. And we are super excited that this year we're planning on going again for a third year. And I wanted to just kind of let you know, we are looking for donations. And also, if you want to send your kid, you know, that's a great Christmas present. Stocking stuffer, just put, hey, I paid your $75 for down payment for YFN, and put that in their stocking, and, you know, hey, Merry Christmas. It's a summer trip. So I just want to encourage those that don't have kids or those that have kids, please come see me. Let me know if you want to sign up and go. We are super excited to go, and I just really want to encourage you guys to give.
Amen. All right, what a great Christmas gift it could be if you're children can go. And then I want to also tell you, we have great adults, again, just to reaffirm that, that go along and they give up vacation time, family time, and they spend about a week with our young people. So that's necessary that we bless them also. And so if you can do that, earmark it, see Christina, and there's that's one of those gifts that we just really need at this point, okay, so we can plan ahead for our children. Everybody here, good? Amen. Welcome our first-time guests here at Living Faith Church. Never been to a Sunday morning. Welcome them. Come on. Give them a big hand. Second time, third time guests. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're Living Faith, faith that you can see as you gather, as we grow, and as we go. And I'd find it just a big, big privilege. If I could shake your hand, I'll be in the cafe area immediately after service. And if I could just have a moment with you and just welcome you, that's good. We won't really, again, knock at your door or call you if you fill out that connection card. You got the announcement on that. We will send you stuff in email and that sort of thing. We'll mail you things. We'd like to just thank God for you again. Coming January 8th, this is our pipeline on how we disciple people at the very beginning of their walk with Christ. And also, sometimes we have those distant times from God when we grow cold. Everyone has those, including myself. Well, growing in faith is an answer to that. There's 6 classes. They're all free. And they're all good. They begin at 9 a.m. every Sunday morning. They'll begin January the 8th. I wanted to make sure that you go ahead and plan for that. Most people, what they do that are the godly people at Living Faith, they go to the 9 a.m. growing in faith, and then they come, if they're real spiritual, to the 10:30 service. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. So you have God on your side, and that whole day spent, really that morning is spent with Jesus and Living Faith. So make sure that you do that with me today. And you know, you were created for something. This class helps you discover that. Why on earth am I on this planet? Well, that class will help you discover that, and that's incredible. I want you to be part of that. You have your message notes. If you need them, raise your hand high. We have Alex Copeland ready to give those. If you don't have one, raise your hand high. Everybody, 100%. You can be humble and just raise your hand. They'll give them to you. 100%. Awesome. You guys didn't come in through the back doors and so forth. Message notes. Do you want to hear a joke? Okay, one person does. Okay, so I'll go ahead and tell you. St. Peter at the pearly gates has a guy come, a minister and a congressman and a taxi driver. And, you know, so he takes care of the congressman. He shows him, hey, congressman, this is where you're going to live. Not too bad, huh? He says, it's an upgrade from the house I had in Washington, but I'll take it. It's just a mansion, nice place. And St. Peter, you know, says, you know, the minister's saying, man, I can't wait for mine. I can't wait for mine, you know, because I've been working for the Lord. And so the taxi driver's next. Taxi driver shows him, this is your house. Give him a silk robe, the best of clothes, nice shoes. And he's just all decked out, nice home. Heaven is just like, man, it's awesome. He says, you know, and he says, okay, your reward now, minister and pastor. He said, so he gets him like this kind of uncomfortable robe. It's just real plain white, kind of the housing projects in heaven. And he goes, hey, you know, I preached, you know, my whole life. I gave it to Jesus, and this is what I get. He said, you know, you gave that congressman that big. He said, well, we gave him that because hardly any congressmen are here in heaven. Yeah. He said, what about the taxi driver? You know, he said, well, we're really based on results here in heaven. He said, and when everybody was in his taxi cab, they prayed. Yeah. He says, and when everybody heard you preach, they slept. Yeah, amen. Thank God for the second service. Y'all are a whole lot better than the first, amen. Especially over here on this side. I don't know what happened to this. No, anyway. Hey, it's Christmas time, and it's a time to invite people to the house of God. They say 9 out of 10 people that get invited by an angel, which is you, will come and respond. They'll come to church if they just get invited. And I'll tell you more about that as the announcements did. You want to invite somebody that's far away from God. We can't invite everybody, but you can invite that one person, that second person, that third person, and you'll be surprised. Again, my stomach, man, I didn't eat anything but a banana. Amen. Will y'all just forgive me? That's my gut. Amen. So the good news of Jesus coming, it's just that you would tell people about Christ today. Amen. During Christmas time especially. So if you do that, people are going to come. They come during Easter too, but I want you just to make sure that God's house, God likes it when his house is full. He speaks of that in the Word. All right, everybody? In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it's our theme scriptures. We conclude today from here to eternity, session 4. And it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Amen. God turns everything, every curse, everything that's against us in God's hands. Solomon wrote, it becomes beautiful in its time. Amen. The more I see my wife, man, honestly, I tell you this, she was driving me to church today. I had to surrender my man card. She decided to come to church with me today. And I think she's out there doing something. Amen. Y'all pray for her. But anyway, she's gotten beautiful. And I touched her hand as she was driving. She says, hey, you're cold. My hands are cold. And I said, well, my heart's warm, babe. I'm looking at you. Amen. It just gets better. Amen. Amen. Don't our wives get better, guys? Amen. Come on. We're one guy. Come on, cowards. Amen. All right. Good. I'm saying it because she's not here right now. But the scripture was that this, he has also set eternity in the human heart. So deep within your heart today, as a human, as it's beating, because everybody has a beating heart, you're here today. God's put something that can only be satisfied by him, can only be the thirst that you have, can only be met by him. Amen. Aren't you glad for Jesus satisfying today? And when you give it to God, see, there's a purpose in your life. And if you don't discover that, you'll live life through happenstance. You'll not have, but God, when he gives you that purpose, it becomes bigger than your problem we've discovered. Man, I got that problem, and you just can't wake up. You can't get out of bed. But when you got a purpose, depression takes second spot. And it says, you know, I have something to do today. That even that sickness and that ache and pain, you still rise above it. Oh, how I've seen the saints of God in this room. Even in wheelchairs, they come and they serve God. Even in when they can't drive anymore, they're still praying and they're seeking God. Amen. And that's the blessing of God of having a purpose in your life today. I want to speak to you today about spiritual legacy, which is much bigger than a legacy of inheritance, a will, which is all good. Proverbs speaks of that, of leaving inheritance to your children's children. That's big time. Not only first generation, but second generation. If you're going to do it right, do it like Proverbs. But it leaves a spiritual legacy is something that outlives you, that money can never buy, and is much bigger and better than any financial gift, as big as that is today. Amen. I found some grave sites that were real famous and tombstones because these are people that live beyond their lives on this earth today. The first one, I grew up with John Belushi, you know, with Saturday Night Live and that sort of thing. And boy, was that guy funny. And it shows John A. Belushi. He gave us laughter. And it shows his father at this point was still alive and his mother Agnes again had gone off into eternity. And just another one here real quick if you'd like to see it. Thank God for Google. You can Google Johnny Cash. Isn't he awesome? Yeah. Songs are timeless. But you know, I don't really like country music. I'll be real upfront with you. Don't shame me. It's just not my type. I wasn't raised on it. But when I see when I see Walk the Line on FX or whatever it might be, man, Joaquin Phoenix, he sings pretty good, doesn't he? Well, y'all don't know that anyway. So anyway, I love watching that biopic and June Carter Cash right there. He died just a couple of months after her, according to here. And beyond the grave here, we have people. Another one is Whitney Houston. We spoke about her recently about The Voice, and we did that worship series on that. You can get that on our website today. But here, I Will Always Love You. And what a beautiful monument that is, isn't that? Yeah. Next one, how could I not do Selena? Amen, right? And first service was real serious, man. I couldn't get anything. I mean, I don't know if it was like this thing, holy thing about a vela they were going to light to her. So I don't know what it was. But anyway, Selena's there in Corpus Christi. And just, a beautiful grave there, right? I mean, imagine that, right? I think that's the final. Yeah, the last one is this. Francis Albert Sinatra, the best is yet to come. Amen. There we go. Beloved husband, father, when I see these, I think, yeah, they're outliving themselves because their music, some of their acting abilities, and some of their highlights that they have on Netflix or whatever they have, and it's proper to probably have a great tombstone, but I want you to live beyond your grave today. And so probably one of the most important things as we conclude this year, before we'll do our Christmas series to conclude the year next week, I wanted to make sure you had what's in our DNA, why we do Living Faith the way we do, why we accomplish what we do, and why what wakes us up. And this is what I pound the table for. We're going to go this way, and this is what we take a stand on today. They say the richest spots on the earth are not the gold mines of South America. They're not the oil fields of Saudi Arabia. They're not hidden gems or things that you can find underneath the ocean. They're literally, you probably passed it on the way here, they're graveyards. And when I walk through a graveyard, I often ask myself, what treasures are underneath these sod and the rectangular squares that they have that were buried there, and there's gold underneath that. Because a song was never sung that's buried. Something that was never spoken was buried. Something, an embrace never happened that was supposed to happen. And the potential of that gold was never realized today. See, within your heart today, there's something gold. If you're breathing today, you have something within you today that is gold that needs to come out. That a song needs to be sung. A ministry needs to be acted upon. Something of legacy needs to go on. And aren't you glad that God is with us today? God, you're hearing God's voice. What we do for ourselves usually dies. It really does. Never seen the hearse following the processional or the U-Haul following the hearse today. But what we do for others lives beyond us. What you do for others will live beyond you and will be timeless and touched by God. So tap into what you're breathing today and what's in your heart today so you can, it will outlive you beyond the grave today, amen? The first thought that we do today is we pray, we seek God. See, we give you the vision, and just like Irma and I, we look where we're going to plant our seed above and beyond our tithe and what we do in our time and our energy and our ministries that we do here within Living Faith. What am I going to do above that? I pray about that, and then I do it today. And so should we as the people of God today. Matthew 9:37 on the big screen says this. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is, but the workers are. Oh Lord, send the workers. Amen. And then it says the answer, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out. And it's always been about the workers. I've recognized in the short time I've been a pastor that we want to do all these things, but you know what we lack? Workers. Pastor, when are we going to do this? Pastor, when are we going to do that? Well, we need workers to equip it. We need people to be in the position so they can do it. Does it take a lot of talent? Maybe just a little bit. But again, I remind you the story of Joe, our worship leader. He told me, he said, I stuttered and I couldn't really talk. But when I began to sing, God gave me the ability and my stuttering stopped. Isn't that amazing? So you give God a little bit and he works with a whole bunch right within you. It's already within you to do the things that God has for you today. And so if you're part of this church and you call me your pastor, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for our staff. I want you to pray for Irma and I. I want you to pray for our elders. I want you to pray for our leadership. I want you to pray for our church growth. I want you to pray for our Easter, our Christmas services that are going to happen, that God would grow our church. Is that biblical? Amen. Amen. We do the things that God told us to do. And so thank God for the workers, amen, that come. The second thought right there in your handout, somebody shout, give. Yeah, hear the vision of Living Faith. You pray about it. Then you say, this is where I'll give. What do you give? You give what you have. It's very scriptural. Well, I don't have $1 million. Well, God's not asking you for something you don't have. You may have 50. I don't have 24 hours in a day. I got 1 hour. Well, maybe God will ask you for that 1 hour. Whatever you have, everybody in this room has something to give. We all have something. Hit your neighbor and say, you got something, man. If you don't have anybody to look at me. You have something, you have something, you have something. You have something, amen. Yeah, you have something to give. Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good to those that deserve it when it comes to your power to help them. You have it within you. I don't have $1 million, but hey, I got 20, brother. I can spare that. I can give you that. And if you can help your neighbor now, then don't say, come back tomorrow. Amen. I'll have tortillas then. I'll have some tamales for you then. No, if you have the tamales, amen, then you give it to them. Amen. Thousands have been given this year. We'll do the final count in January. We'll have one of those meetings that we have when we show you the disclosure of our finances and just say, this is what we gave in our missions. This is what we gave in our personnel. This is what we gave towards Seek the Lost and our homeless ministry. This is what we gave, amen, towards benevolence. And we disclose that to you. And thousands are given because you're a generous church, amen. Amen. I'm proud of this church and what they do every year and what they do countlessly. There are families in crisis this year. And every year at Living Faith, it's put upon an individual. It's put upon individuals. What can we do to reach our community? What can we do to help people? And so this year we went just a stone's throw away to a housing area that they need help. And the apartment complex manager told Sophie Cochran and I, these people, if they get help, it'll be a blessed Christmas for them. And so we showed up as the angels on assignment. And I think there's still a little bit left that you can give and you can do. See, someone needs a toy. It doesn't need to be from Lit. Then we're going to get the credit for it. No, mom and dad, amen, they'll bless their children because you bless them. A dream for a dad is that his children would have toys and you'll make his dream come true. The dream is that they would have groceries, a great Christmas dinner, and you'll make the dream come true. Amen. Amen. Gloria Martinez had this great idea. She said, you know what? What if we give them more than just one toy? Why not? Amen. It's Christmas time. We've been blessed today. Amen. Let's just overload them and bless them because we've been blessed so much. Right, everybody? Amen. Make sure you see Sophie today. Let's run out of stuff. Let's just give so much that we can't contain it anymore because that's how good God's been to us, right? The last one there, somebody shout, go. Yeah, Romans 10:15 says this, how can we preach unless they are sent? And it is written right there. It's a go. It's an action. It's a how beautiful. The feet are going. They're moving, right? It's an action. Yeah, church is here for me. A little bit. But our priority is for other people. The church is here for our neighborhood. Yeah, because when we look at it that way, we begin to stink and say, this is mine. No, it's everybody. I ask you to enlarge your circle of love with me today. Because when I make it real tight, I hate. And hate comes into that circle. But when I enlarge it, people love me and I love them. Amen. Amen. So we enlarge our circle today. Amen. I saw something, and I'm so glad that she's here. A season ago, a lady was having a tough day. About a year ago, it was cold. We did this gasoline outreach that we'd fill up everybody's gas tank at the 7-Eleven down the street. And we gave out these acts of kindness cards as we filled up their tank. Well, we did that and people were freaked out. You know, can you imagine getting a full tank of gas as you pull up and no strings attached? And they were looking if we would sell something or want a donation. We didn't want any of that. We just wanted to bless. And so over $500 came in that we would be able to do that mission. So that's a lot of gas, right? That we can buy for people and bless them because of your generosity. And so one lady drove up, and she'd had a tough day. And she just said, you know, all of a sudden I see these people, and they're around the pumps, and then they start filling my pump up, and I'm kind of overwhelmed because I've had this awful day. And I didn't know what to think. And then I realized, man, they're filling up my tank free. They're blessing me. And they gave me this, and I had to come back. What is this sort of church that would do this in my neighborhood? And that precious lady is now a lifer, I hope, at Living Faith Church. She's been here over a year, her and her family. And they're coming, and they're a blessing. All because what you did and how you gave. Amen. You altered a life, and you gave direction and purpose. There's invite cards that are ready right outside. Of course, Jamie has these for you. You can take one or two. Don't take a bunch because we need these for the outreach also. But you can take one or two. Aren't these beautiful? You can give one or two hard target. When I was in sales, they would say, go after that hard target, Nava. That means I wouldn't go after a bunch of accounts that wanted to be within our company. I wanted that one account that I'd studied, that I'd thought through, and I said, they have a need that my company can fulfill. Well, there's people out there that are in your neighborhood that have a need, in your family, they have a need, and you can invite them. 9 out of 10 will come, right, everybody? There's also these, and this one says, every week God shows up at Living Faith, you're invited to. So these are just little things that you can leave behind. They'll do the preaching for you. Come be my guest. They'll come at Christmas time. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah. Make sure that you do that. Acts of kindness cards. Fill up a buy the lunch for somebody at Taco Bell and leave them a card. Say, give them that. Amen. They'll take down your license plate. I need to find out who gave me that, right? Be the church is going to happen in about another week. We'll do that through our Christmas caroling. Make sure that you show up. You go. The adult daycare happens at 10 o'clock every Friday, just down the street. See Sophie Cochran for that, or Estella right here on the front row, and they'll tell you about how you can join us at that time. When I sat back this year, because of the building, I thought, well, I didn't have time to reflect, but as I thought through what God had done, I thought through of all the good, how good God had been to us. Amen. And this season, we sent workers. We sent our first Bible college kids off to go to Bible college from this congregation. Amen. This season, amen. Amen. And they had to be my kids because your kids wouldn't go. Or your grandchildren wouldn't go. But they went, amen. And they finally went that I didn't have to twist their arm. Give me a good amen. They wanted to go. And they're getting trained and they're learning things, they're growing things that would take us probably 70 years to learn. They're going to learn in just a few short years because of the intensity of teaching that they'll have at the school they're going to, and that's what sort of school they go to, and thank God for it, amen. You're part of that. You're blessing that. We sent them from this congregation, amen. They have a supportive church today. There's this missionary, first time this year, we sent a missionary out of our congregation for a short-term mission. I preached about it for years. One finally took they responded, and it changed their life forever. Courtney Bernal is part of our church, and she raised money and paid for the majority of her short-term mission. We gave a little bit to her, but she went to Nicaragua, and she went on a medical mission trip because she wants to be a doctor, and she went, and she told me this. She said, honestly, Pastor, I think about Nicaragua every day. Every day I think of that village I went to, those villages that we went to, and I ministered there. It changed my life. She said, I don't think she'll mind me telling you this because she told me about it. She wrote it down. She said, I used to be kind of scared to go to Walmart and go to be alone. But I went to Nicaragua alone. When I got on the plane, I remember saying, wow, you're really doing this? You're on the plane to Nicaragua. And when I got there, it changed my life. Those children, she said that right there at the picture, she said that they suffer from parasites in that village a lot or in that area. And if they don't have the medication that the medical team brings, the medical missionaries bring, they'll get real sick. Some have died. And they save countless lives by treating them, healing, putting the bandages on, by pouring in the oil, the ointment, and God's children today. It changed her life. We sent that out of this church today. We have much more to do, right? Much more going to do. You may not be able to go to Nicaragua, but you can go across the street. You can talk to your neighbor. You can love people, right, everybody? Amen? And so to leave a life of legacy, what's in our DNA, what's in our values, how do you live beyond the grave? Amen. I'm going to give you 3 points principally. Number one is this. Here we go. It takes faith. We see it. Somebody shout, we see it. Faith is something, again, it's tangible when you see it today. And so I see it another way. I see it God's way. Beyond the grave, people see their community different. I see a city different. I see a nation different. I see my church different. I just see things differently. Amen. And you, Brian Houston, the Hillsong church pastor for many decades now, he's from Australia, and he did this sermon called I See a Church, and he made it famous. And I took what he did, and I said, I'm going to craft it to Living Faith. And so Brian Houston, I see a church, and that's the way he talks because he's from Australia. I see a church that becomes Living Faith, a church of influence that touches the world through excellence that reflects Jesus and his kingdom, a church that sees the fingerprint of God on everything we do, and we call it Living Faith. I see a church whose songs of worship flow out of this sanctuary into the world, exalting Jesus to the highest place, and worship that makes Jesus famous. I see a church that's big enough to dream on a global scale, yet personal enough that everyone will find their place. I see a church. I see a church that motions welcome home to every man, every woman, every child that walks through the doors. I see a church that empowers people with the Word of God for a life-changing experience. I see a church that's sacrificial, counts the cost, and is willing to be generous, that sees the kingdom of God come and the will of God being done on the earth. Finally, I see a church that's so compassionate, that's drawn from the impossible situations of our community into a loving, friendly circle of hope, that answers can be found and acceptance is given today. I see a church, amen. And I see living faith as that church today, right? Open your eyes and see the harvest, because God wants you to see it, amen. Because if you can see it, we can achieve it. Ephesians in the Message Bible says it so plainly. Let's read it together. You haven't had any fun all day, amen. Read it on three. One, two, three, go. Whoa. Let's build it up, amen. Facebook is watching, so we want to sound kind of cool for the Facebook audience, right? On three. One, two, three. God is building a home. He's using... He used the apostles and prophets for his foundation. Now he's using you. With Jesus Christ as a cornerstone who holds all the parts together. We see it. God is quiet his home. Yeah, he's quiet at home. We're building for God, everybody. By the way, you can look at your message notes, amen, if you don't want to stare at the screen and that way you read it a little bit louder. Amen. Give me a good amen. All right. It reminded me of the story of those three guys that were brick laborers, and they were building, you know, they had the blueprints, but they were brick laborers, masons, and each one of them was asked what they were doing. First man gruffly said, you know, what are you doing? They said, gruffly, I'm placing blocks. Second man replied, I'm putting up a wall. And the third guy said, I'm building a cathedral for God. It's a matter of perspective on what you do every day and how you live and what you see it. You got to see it, amen, and faith sees it today. Second thing, it takes a sacrifice, and we choose it. No personal agendas here. Lay it down. There will always, including yours truly, be something pulling at me to be self-centered, and more of me and less of Jesus, right? We got to be, there's selfishness. Our cry is not to build a church for ourselves. To build it for people that are coming and have yet to come. Right, everybody? They're going to get in on it. Amen. It's good. They came at the ninth hour, but the reward's the same. We enjoy it today. We built it for them. Children are coming. We enjoy it. Amen for them. And they enjoy it. They enjoy it because we built it. First Peter 2:5. And we also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. How will you do it? By offering spiritual sacrifices. We sacrifice. We make a choice today. Acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. In the mission right now, because you got deployed in this church, you didn't know it today, but there's an assignment that you have. No one else is coming. You're it. You're behind enemy lines. No reinforcements. We're it. We're the sheriffs. We're the deputies. Amen. We're keeping the spiritual temperature of our community. And you must be with me today on this today, because no one else, God sent us to do this work. He didn't send anybody else, and I'm glad that you're here with me today, amen. We're the first and only responders, amen, and that's why we do what we do every day. In Luke chapter 10, there's this beautiful story in the Message Bible, and the Message Bible makes it so like a story, and I advise you to use as your devotional Bible the Message Bible. And it speaks of the Good Samaritan. And there once was a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on his way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes. They beat him up. He went off leaving him half dead. And then the message again. Luckily, a priest, the pastor, was on his way on the same road. Thank God that pastor's coming, right? And when he saw him, he angled to the other side. Hey, they're coming that way. Nava's going that way, right? Then the Levi. This was the elders, this was the musicians, this was all the leadership, amen. The Levite religious man showed up, and he also, what did he do? He avoided the injured man too. And then the racism began. Show me the next slide. A Samaritan, which was racism at that moment in Jesus' time, was so they automatically, those hearers in the audience that Jesus told this story for the very first time, this timeless story, they would have said, oh yeah, he's a half-breed. Those half-breeds don't help us out. Oh yeah, we stay away from them. We have to wash after they get through with us. And the Samaritan was traveling down the road. Can you see what Jesus was? Jesus was timeless, right? And what he did in his message. Amen. He was for equal rights before it even happened in the 60s. And the road came down to him, and when they saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, disinfected his bandages and wounds, and he lifted him up onto his donkey and led him to an inn. That Holiday Inn was around the corner, right? And he made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins. He gave out, you know, here's $50, man. And he gave it to the innkeeper, saying, take good care of him. If it costs any more, then put it on my bill, and I'll pay you on the way back, right? So that religious leader that asked him this story about who's my neighbor, who's the one that I should take care of because of the Old Testament law, and he asked him, so what do you think? Which of the three a neighbor to this man attacked by robbers? The one who treated him kindly, the religious scholar said. And Jesus said, and he says this to you and me, go and do the same, living faith. Go and do the same. Martin Luther King preached the sermon, and he did it a lot better than I did. And he says this, and you can show me that right now. He says, if I stop to help this man, this is what Nava asks sometimes, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my $20? What's going to happen if something happens to me because I did that? And there's wisdom. I'm not calling anybody to be foolish in this room, but you know when your heart's to help somebody and when it's not. Everybody in this room, amen, we have judgment in our heart. We have a recognition of that today. And this is what I love about the Good Samaritan. This is what he said. You can show me the next. He said, if I don't, this is what we should ask. If I don't stop to help this man, this is where the Good Samaritan is, his heart. What will happen to him? If somebody doesn't reach the children of our community, if somebody doesn't buy groceries, if somebody doesn't clothe people like we're going to clothe them in this coming season, what's going to happen to them? If we don't do that, if we don't become the, if somebody doesn't send our kids to camp, they won't, their call, amen. And so it takes generosity. It's not easy, but the heart of God, the heart of God is always, I'm going to give my best because God gave his best today, and it's a generous heart. There's a gift of giving that people have. I've recognized this in the long time that I've been a pastor because I have gray hair now. And people have, you can smile at me. People have a gift of giving. Some give time, some give their talent, some give treasure. And there are people that, because they're blessed financially so much, they look for places to give. And I want to exemplify that today by highlighting a couple of things. Beyond your notes today, this is giving for kingdom causes. And the first thought is Living Faith Church. There is so much vision that we have in this church that we've had yet to touch, and a lot of it is because the finances aren't there. And I want you to think about that if you've been blessed today, because God can use it, and God can use it through Living Faith. And I'm just going to be real plain. If you don't have it, then you can't give it. But some of us have it, and I'm preaching to the wind, amen? It's going throughout the whole earth today, and God's going to provide for this house today, because our local house is what we do first. God commanded us to reach our city first, our zip code first. What a tragedy it would be if we're not reaching here and we're trying to reach people in international missions. And we are doing the same, but we're putting efforts here today. We planted a church this year in Corpus Christi. Our state is being reached, and you're sowing mission dollars statewide to do that. I'm excited about the second one. There's a clothing ministry that's going to be, a precious lady and her husband came to me, and they've been lifers at Living Faith Church, and they said, Pastor, this is a year that I want to do something to reach the people of the community by having a free clothing ministry. We're not going to charge them. We're going to have clothing that is done in a good way, and we're going to have like a store for them, and they can come and shop. And that's her vision, and she's going to do it under Living Faith Church, and that's a blessing. What an act of obedience, right, everybody? Amen. They're going to buy everything. They're setting us up. Isn't that something? Amen. To God be the glory, right, everybody? The next one is a free grocery ministry. And I see a grocery ministry happening in 2017. And what will happen is there good food will come. Good resources will come to the people of our zip code that are in need. And we'll feed people. We'll feed hungry people. It'll be something of dignity for them. It won't be something that we're doing something to take away dignity. We want to feed many people at Living Faith Church. Right, everybody? And the gift will go on today. Finally, the last two. The children's and youth ministry. What I discovered this year is the demographics of our area and our zip code is we have more children than any other people group within this zip code. And that says a lot right now of what our target should be. Those are the people that we should reach. We should have a children's ministry that is second to none. Amen. We have great workers right now, but we need to give them more resources and tools so they can reach the children of our community. So they walk in and they go, man, it's like Disney World in here. Mama, I want to keep coming back. And they drag parents to church. Give me a good amen. Amen. Our youth ministry will be continued to touch. And John Jay is the great high school, the nation of 3,000 people that is right next to us. And we need to touch it even more effectively this coming year. See, devil, I'm not going to stop. Give me a good amen. Amen. I'm gonna keep waking up. And he's going to say, oh, no, he's awake again. How about you? Amen. Finally, international missions. We're the hope of the community. We have ministry partners that are all over the world, Spain, Jamaica, Belize, Mexico. And when we sow into them, which is intentionally, they're reaching people that we can't reach today. And so that will continue. Is that okay with all of us today? Amen. None of us are as good as all of us. You're okay by yourself, but when you join yourself with other people, you become better. Is that okay? Finally, the last one is this. It takes an urgency, and we do it today. You live beyond the grave, and you do it today. Today matters, yeah. But when you look back, you go, oh, the golden age, yeah, of Living Faith Church. Oh, if we only did that like last year. No, yesterday's happened. We have today. Today is better right now, amen? We look back too much. In Ephesians 5:15, be careful then how you live, not to be unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are. Write in your handout. Dr. Seuss wrote this, and then we kind of twisted it. Amen. And Dr. Seuss said this, I shall behave as of this day I will be remembered. That's a lot of good behaving, isn't it? But then we have this thought, I will live, today I will live as of this day I will be remembered. And so the life essence of your life on how you live and what you do with your life every day counts today. Would you pray? Would you give? Would you go? Would you pray? Would you give? Would you go? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you with an urgency, Lord, that we have faith to see it. And we sacrifice and we choose it today. We choose to make the sacrifices. Lord, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you that